Father, we thank you for our pastor. We thank you for calling her before this earth began. Lord, we just praise you for your beauty. You turn ashes into beauty. Lord, just bless Shannon with your word. May she present you, the living Messiah.
Yes.
Help us to absorb what you have given her. That we can leave with a new fact that we've that's touched our mind and our heart. That we can go out here different than we came in. Being more loving than we came in. In your name I pray. Amen.
I'm talking to you, sharing with you about an open heaven. And I'll just say, and Jesus started something. Now, we had a new declaration this morning. When God decrees something, when he establishes something in the heavens, we get to declare it in the earth. And so let's take a look at that. It says, we have an open heaven by the blood of Jesus. We have an open heaven. It's not we will get, or you need to do all of this before it happens. We have an open heaven by the blood of Jesus. And because of that, the Holy Spirit not only rests upon us, but he is within us. And we are keenly sensitive to the Lord and his voice. How many feel you're keenly sensitive? Don't put up your hands because I know what's going to happen. Some will. And oh, no, I'm not like that. But this is a promise. God says, you ask, he'll make you keenly sensitive to his voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. Walk in it. And we don't turn to the left or right. We walk in the path he sets before us. But I'm going to focus in here on, we have an open heaven. So what in the world is an open heaven? Let's see if I've... You know what? I apologize. I meant to put this on a slide and put it in here, but I didn't. So you're going to have to memorize it. Uh-oh. What is an open heaven? An open heaven is where there are no barriers between the earthly realm and the heavenly realm, between the throne of God and all of his resources. There's no barrier for us. It's an open heaven. You and I, as believers in Jesus, as adopted sons and daughters, here in this earthly realm, have a heavenly Father that has opened the heavens over us. Meaning that there's nothing separating you from him and his resources. Think about that for a minute. That's what he promised. That's not a fact. That's a truth. You say, well, what's a fact? I'm going to say a fact will be things like, my toe hurts. The truth is, Jesus is the healer. Amen. Right? And we want to live in the truth, not the facts. We want to live by truth and what he has done. And we have an open heaven. And we can live constantly aware that we are not separated from God and his resources. How many of you, and I'm going to be honest, I'll put my hand up first, and you can if you want to, have ever felt like you're separated from God and his resources? Like, come on, God, where are they? There's been moments, there's been times. Do you know what we get to do? We get to change our minds. We get to turn our thoughts to God. We get to claim the truth and declare the truth, no matter what the facts are. We get to declare the truth of Jesus and what he's done. Oops. And it's for us to become aware that we have an open heaven, that our heavenly Father, he promised he would never leave us or forsake us. Jesus said he'd never leave us. He'd send us the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? Do you not know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? How far away from you is he? He's not. He's not. And all it takes is simply this, to change my thinking, to turn my thoughts to him, to turn my eyes to heaven, to thinking of him, my Father, my King, my Holy Spirit. They're all right here with me right now. They're with you right now. And it is part of us to become keenly aware of that and keep reminding ourselves of that. Washing dishes, remind ourselves. He is there. Changing the oil in the car, he is there. Standing in line, a long line, he's there. When we're down on our knees praying for the lost souls of people that we love, he's there. Where does this whole idea of an open heaven come from? Where did it start? Well, I want to start with a scripture. It's from Deuteronomy 28, 23. And it comes in line with a long list of curses and blessings that God pronounces. You know, this, and he tells us, choose life. Choose the blessings. But he says, if you disobey, this is what's going to happen. The skies overhead will, NIV version, bronze over. I think King James is brass over. And the ground beneath you will become iron. And he's really referring to the rains aren't going to come down, and then for the ground gets dry and hard. This, in context of this, we have to understand it's under the old covenant and Israel following God's laws and commandments. In Psalms 144:5, it says, part your heavens, Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so they'll smoke. In other words, we're hungry for you, Lord. Come, be a part of us. Come, come. And we understand that there was a time when it was only through the blood of lambs and bulls that the presence of God was the way we're able to approach the presence of God. But something happened. Well, let's look at another open heaven. And I'm going to read it to you, and it's long, so I didn't put it on a slide, so hopefully you have your Bible and you know how to turn to Genesis 28. And there's this guy called Jacob. Now, if you don't know the story of Jacob, you've never heard it, I encourage you, go to, 26, 27, all in that area. 27, you're going to find out what kind of guy Jacob is. He's a bit of a con man. He even tricks his own father, who's going blind, into giving him the blessing. Now, I'm going to be honest, his mother was in on it. And when his twin brother finds out that Jacob's stolen his blessing from him, he's not very happy with him. And so Jacob takes a run. And he heads out, and he heads off to a place called Haran. And I'm starting in verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. And when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and laid down to sleep. How many of you have pillows like that? And he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth. It was with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord your God, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. And listen to what he tells him. Remember, this is the guy that just stole, you know, was running away from his brother, all kinds of things. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and all the people on earth will be blessed through your offspring. Who does that sound like? What does that promise sound like? The promise of Abraham. And here's Jacob receiving the promise of Abraham. And I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I've promised you." And when Jacob woke up from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord was in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." And early the next morning, Jacob took a stone he had placed under his head, set up a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the place Bethel, which means house of God, right? Though the city used to be called Luz. Okay, we're going to stop with that one. So what do we have happening in our story here with Jacob? Was he a perfect man? And what did he receive? A blessing. He received the blessing of Abraham as a descendant. There was a promise to Abraham, listen, you're descendants. And here is Jacob as a descendant. And the Lord says this. He also says, "I'm with you. And wherever you go, I'm with you. And until I fulfill the promises that I've made to you, I'm never going to leave you." How much better do we have it today? Or is there any different with you, Jesus? What promises has God made you? Has made us? And he will never leave us until he has fulfilled them. In fact, we can say this, he'll never leave us. So we have the story of an open heaven. And I want to take you, I missed a scripture there. And it's in Isaiah 64. And that Isaiah 64, it says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, and that the mountains would tremble before you." There's Isaiah. Oh, God, we want this open heaven. We want to connect with you. We don't want to do it through bulls and goats or lambs anymore. We want you, God, to come down. We want to experience you. Now, I may be adding the goats and things to it, or the lambs and bulls, but the thing was, we all have a heart to connect with God. Even the atheist who says there is no God is really denying the truth. I remember a friend of mine talking to her sister-in-law, said, "I don't believe in God." And she looked at her and in all honesty said, "Well, who do you go to when you're in trouble?" And you think, well, I don't need to go to, but that's not true. Because when we're in that desperate place, we're desperately hopeful there's somebody. They're desperately hoping there is a God. Well, let's look at another incident of the open heaven. And it is in Matthew 3:16-17. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, the heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We go to Mark, and we have the same story of Jesus coming. And Jesus was coming up out of the water, and he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending like a dove. And the same thing, the voice of God speaks and says, "You are my Son in whom I am well pleased." Who opened the heavens? Who rent the heavens? Who tore open the heavens? God, the Father. Does anybody know Revelation 3:7, what it says? What he opens, no one can shut up. And what he shuts, no one can open. God opened the heavens. Who's going to close it? No one. What's going to close it? Your sin? No. God opened the heavens. So we have an open heaven over us. In Luke 3:21-22, it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And when he prayed, the heaven was open. You know, so often we read these scriptures and we see the heaven was open and we think it's all about the Holy Spirit coming. But the heaven was opened first and the Holy Spirit came. We see the same story in John. Oops, there's Luke. In John, but it's told from the perspective of John the Baptist. And again, the testimony of Jesus, he says, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And then he talks about the fact that I have seen and I've testified that he is the chosen one. He saw, he testifies about Jesus. So there is something very significant that happened at Jesus' baptism, along with him receiving the Holy Spirit. And we tend to look it over. The heavens were opened over Jesus. It was a start of something that we were going to see and receive. Let's take to maybe. Come on. There we go. Oops. No. Back up. There we go. So if we go to John 1, 49 to 51, Jesus is talking with Nathanael. And he says, I saw you under the tree. And Nathanael's response is, and then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under a tree? You will see greater things than that. And then he added, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He says to it, you ain't seen nothing yet. And Jesus, taking from that vision of Jacob. That the vision, the dream that Jacob had, where he saw the Lord, and now Jesus is saying, look it, I'm the Son of Man. And the heavens are going to open, and the angels of God are going to ascend and descend on me because of me. Jesus, the Son of Man, but yet sinless, obedient, the last Adam, opened the heavens for us. In John, see if we go here. In John 51, very truly I tell you, that's, you know how, verily, verily, you know, the verily, verily of the King James. It's like highlighting, underlining, and bolding. That's what it is. Very truly I tell you, this isn't a lie, this isn't a fact, this is truth. You will see an open heaven. And the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. When's the last time you saw an open heaven and angels ascending and descending? Do you know you can? But I think sometimes in our thinking, well, that's just metaphorical, or it's just a dream. You can see the open heaven. You can see in the Spirit what the Lord is doing. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, there are angels in this building? Yep. How many of you have seen them? Yep. Sort of. Lord, make his vision more clear. We get to see angels. Sometimes it says we'll even see them unaware. Lord, help me be sensitive to what you're doing. Now, I want you to, we're going to do something here. We're just going to go through a few little stories of Jesus here on earth. Jesus who's baptized, Jesus who's received the Holy Spirit, Jesus who is fully God and fully man, but has laid down his divinity to walk as we have to walk in the earth, but yet without sin. We need to remember that. And look what his life is like. Oops, is that the right one? Just let me see here. Sorry, I'm ahead of myself. Jesus told them, now I want you to know I'm reading this from the Passion Translation. Jesus told them, roll away the stone. Then Martha said, but Lord, it's been 4 days since he died. By now, his body is already decomposing. And who are we talking about?
Lazarus.
That's right. Jesus looked at her and said, didn't I tell you that if you would believe in me, you will see God unveil his power? Jesus. So they rolled away the heavy stone, and Jesus gazed into heaven and said, now I want us to think about this. He's looking to Father. And this is what he says, Father, thank you that you have heard my prayer. For you listen to every word I speak. How many of you think that was just for Jesus? Have we ever had somebody whispering in your ear that isn't the Lord speaking behind you saying, yeah, but you're not God. You're not the Savior. God only does that. He only listens to the prayers. Who are you listening to? The father of lies. We want to listen to the words of Jesus that he says here. Thank you, Lord, that you have heard my prayers, for you listen to every word I speak. Now, he says, so that those who are standing with me will believe that you have sent me to the earth as your messenger, I will use the power that you gave me. He's not saying that asking God. He already knows what's going to happen. He knew 7 days ago, 8 days ago, when they said, look at, come to, you know, Lazarus is sick, come and heal him. And he said, no, we're going to stick around here. He knew that Lazarus was going to die, that there was a greater thing going to happen here. He already knew that. And he says, he already knows what's going on. But he says, I'm going to say this for the benefit of the people so that you'll know. Let me ask you, when you hear the words of Jesus in this story, does it benefit you? Do you hear, are you hearing with the heart that says, that's for me too? He sent me as a messenger. I can stand and use the power you've given me. I'm going to read the last. Then Jesus with a loud voice shouted with authority, Lazarus! Come out of the tomb. Then in front of everyone, Lazarus, who had died 4 days earlier, slowly hobbled out, still had his grave clothes tightly wrapped around his hands and feet, covering his face. And Jesus said to them, unwrap him and let him loose. You see, sometimes we're like Lazarus. We're so bound up with our own thinking, we feel like we're dead. But Jesus, for what he did, and in his authority, says, "La, come out of your tomb. Unwrap those grave clothes." With the same authority and the same power that Jesus had, you get to say and do the same things he did and does through us. You get to call people out of the tomb, literally. Anybody feel like you can go lay hands on the dead and see them raised? I'm going to say this. You're braver than me. It's like, Lord, help me remember who I am. How many have heard the testimonies or the prophetic words about when the church finally rises up out of its sleep and gets a hold of who they are and the authority they have, that they will walk through hospitals and clear them? I've heard it a number of times. And sometimes we sit back and think, are they really prophetic? You know? But here's what Jesus tells us. You ain't seen nothing yet. Here's Lazarus coming out of the tomb. What would that have been like? If we raise somebody from the dead, I'm totally, not only am I going to be a little bit freaked out, you know, But then the rejoicing and the celebrating. Because God is faithful. The one who makes his promise is faithful. In Luke 7 or 9, 15 to 17, it says, everyone was seated. Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish and gazed into heaven. Where is his focus? Heavenward. Heavenward. Papa, thank you that you've given us food. Thank you. Now, I appreciate, you know what, we have lots of food in our cupboard and God keeps providing for the cupboard. That's awesome. But what about one day when it's not full? When maybe all we have is a couple of cans of tuna and some day-old bread. Guess what we get to do? Thank you, Lord, that you are going to multiply this. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we experienced that when we were going to the mustard seed, and I won't tell you the story again. But this wasn't a story just for Jesus. It's for today. And it is for us. In Mark 5, we read where Jesus is touched by the hem by a woman with the issue of blood. And I love what he says to her. He says, daughter, because you dared to believe. Again, this is the Passion Translation, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, with peace in your heart, and be free from your suffering. Do you dare believe? Wow. And sometimes that's a hard one. Because what if I dare to believe and it doesn't go down right away or the way I want it? Or, you know, we get, who are we listening to again? Well, sometimes it's not even the devil. Sometimes it's just ourselves. But Jesus said, daughter, son, because you dared to believe. Listen to these stories. As you listen to these stories, what is the character of our Savior? What is his heart? It's love. It's I want to do. I'm not holding back. And he says, if you know me, if you know my heart, you know the heart of the Heavenly Father. And Jesus lived his whole life and ministered under that open heaven. He always had fellowship with the Father at all times. It wasn't just when he went off to be alone. He had it at all times. He gazed up into heaven. Father, thank you that you've heard my prayers. Jesus came and demons fled. Diseases and disabilities were healed. Even death couldn't stand in his way. You see, with him, nothing was and nothing is impossible. And that open heaven that he lived under is ours right now. And how is it ours? Well, it's because of the finished work of the cross. Let's see if I can get this to advance. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last breath. Sorry. He had just cried out, it is finished. And with his death, he broke the back of sin and death forever. There hanging on the cross, he wasn't just bearing our sins like a backpack. He became our sin, your sin. And God's wrath for all of that was poured out on him. All our sins, past, present, and future, all on Jesus. Who paid the debt? You? He did. He paid your debt. He paid my debt. And with a loud cry, it is finished. It is finished. God. Then it goes on to say, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And we're not talking a little cotton curtain. We're talking something that was 6 to 8 inches deep, made of hides, and it was split from top to bottom, open, open. What was once closed, the Holy of Holies, is now open, open to each and every one of us. For those who choose to believe, because here's what happened. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, we have confidence to enter and go right before the presence of God by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, Bethel, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart that is full of assurance that that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and to have our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is
faithful.
He who promised is faithful. The living way opened for us. Let us draw near to God with full assurance that faith brings. For he who promised is faithful. Because of the finished work of Jesus, because of what he did, he opened wide the heavens for us. And who is going to close them up?
Nobody.
By the blood of Jesus, the new and living way. So therefore, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. At home group this past Wednesday, Wendell Brown shared with us an illustration, and I didn't ask permission, but I hope it's okay. I know he got it from a book, so I don't think he's going to claim it, but it's a good thing. Royalties later. And it was this. When we are in our time of need, when we're struggling with either sickness or disease or even sin, Papa doesn't walk away from us. He doesn't walk away from you because you're sin. We have a tendency to turn away because of our own guilt. But what does he do? It's grace for grace. When we need the grace and we don't have it, we don't sense it, we don't feel it, Papa's there with even more grace. He draws close to his ailing child. How many of you run away when your kids are sick? No, you become closer to them, helping them. How many of us know we have a really sick world? He isn't fleeing the other way. And he's not asking us to either. We know what Jesus did with our sin, with all of our sins, sins of the world. And some people out there don't know it yet. In fact, some people right here don't even recognize what Jesus has done for you. And I want to ask you this. I just lost my train of thought. Shouldn't have read my notes. What does Jesus owe us? What does he owe you?
Not
a thing. But what has he done for you?
Everything.
Everything. Everything. Let's take a thought back to Jacob and his dream when he said, surely God is in this place. Jesus, and through the finished work of Jesus, those curtain is torn. God rent the heavens. He's not closing it up again. He opened it. Surely God is in this place. But do you know it? Do you know it? And that is, again, to remind us that when we are in places, in our time of need, when we're focused on the pain and the hurt and the disappointment or whatever's going on, we get to turn our focus and our gaze upon our Lord and thank him for what he did. Because it ain't about you anymore. It's about him. God's favor towards Jacob was based on a covenant that he made with his grandfather. It wasn't about his personal merit, because he certainly didn't deserve it. God's covenant, the new covenant we have, is in Jesus. Did he deserve it, the new covenant? Absolutely. He fulfilled everything. And then he did something. He brought it to us. We have the new covenant. What did you do to deserve it? You just inherited it. You're a child of God and you just inherited it. Not based on how good you were or how perfect, you've inherited it. Now that's not to say we continue in our old nature life that is dead and gone. We have a new nature, a new life. And that's where we have to keep our focus. That's the old, the enemy wants to say, see, I told you. And we go, no. I'm born of an uncorruptible seed. We want to live under that open heaven as co-heirs with Jesus, experiencing all that he did, walking as he did, being transformed into the image of Christ, sinless in our spirit, but how about sinless in our souls? In our mind, in our thinking, taking captive things that are out of line, our thoughts, and putting them in line. Not looking at the facts, looking at the truth. And his name is Jesus. Why don't you stand with me? And you remember, you're standing under an open heaven. It is yours, it is ours because of Jesus, who dwells in you by his Holy Spirit. And as you pray, as you connect with the Father, saying, I know you hear my prayers, Lord, and I'm thanking you for the answer because you've given us all things pertaining to life and righteousness in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we come before you with grateful hearts, thankful hearts, rejoicing hearts, knowing that we have favor with you through the finished work of Jesus. And that your desire is to bless us. Father, give us hungry hearts for you and your presence, hungry hearts for your word, your truth. And Lord, make our ears way more sensitive to hear your voice. Open our spiritual eyes to see the angels moving on your word up and down upon the ladder of Jesus into our world and into our lives. We give you thanks, praise, and glory. And as we go from this place, help us to remember to keep our focus on you. And we ask this now in the wonderful, beautiful, glorious, authoritative name of Jesus. And all God's children said, amen. 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 Well, that's part one. More to come.